This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sean Pendergast alongside Rich Lord and former Dallas Cowboy, Arkansas Razorback, Clint Sterner. And good to be joined right now. The NFL season is upon us. The regular season opener is tonight. If you watch the NFL Network and you are a fan of the New York Giants, you know this guy. Sean O'Hara is an NFL Network analyst, and you can give him a follow on Twitter at SeanO'Hara60, and you can catch him every Wednesday on the NFL Network's NFL Playbook at 5:30 Houston time here, Central, and he joins us right now to talk a little football. Sean O'Hara. Sean, how are you?
Hey, fellas. I'm doing great. How are you all?
We're doing awesome. I mean, how can we be doing any better? The football season is here. The game's getting going tonight. We'll get into tonight's game, I'm sure, at some point, Sean. But here, everybody, as you can probably understand in Houston, is very excited for this Sunday. And it's not been the case that Texan fans have been excited about these trips to New England. But this feels like a year where the Texans may be able to go accomplish something they never have, which is win there. What are your thoughts on this game and also on Deshaun Watson, which is obviously a huge reason why our hopes are so high?
Yeah, I think with Deshaun Watson, you've got an unbelievable amount of optimism heading into the season. Of course, I think the key, and every Texas fan knows, health is the biggest factor this season. I think when you kind of look at the team last year, you know, pretty much all the big playmakers were on IR. Obviously, the injury bug ravaged them last year. But I think when you look at Houston right now and you know, look, a bunch of my colleagues at the NFL Network, I mean, there are a lot of people that I think even Scott Hansen picked Houston Texans to be in the Super Bowl. So there is an unbelievable amount of optimism. And offensively, it's because of what Deshaun Watson brought in the short sample that we saw last year. You go back to last year in week three. I mean, if you would have told people that Deshaun Watson was going to help them score 33 points, I think most people would take that in Foxborough, and you'd probably think you'd come away with a win. So that, to me, is the biggest factor, his ability to just kind of make the big play. You know, that's something that no defensive coordinator can really prepare you for, the ability to extend the play with your legs, move around. You know, even if you get home with a blitz, he's got the ability to make that guy miss and make something happen. So that's special. You know, you can feel kind of the juice and the electricity when you see him out there and what he brings to the offense. So I'm looking forward to just kind of seeing the Texans' offense be a little more balanced. Obviously, they brought in a bunch of free agent offensive linemen and are trying to shore up the protection to keep him healthy and keep him upright in the pocket. That's paramount. But yeah, this is it's always a big straw to take on the Patriots in week one. But you know, look, the Chiefs went up there last year, week one, and put it on them. So I think Deshaun can do that. He can pick up right where he left off.
Sean, I want to pull from your experience in the offensive line, man. And a lot is said here about the Texans' offensive line being the weakness of this offense. And I want you to speak from a stance of Deshaun Watson has the ability, the instincts to maneuver in the pocket to make an offensive lineman's job easier. So, one, what are the odds of this offensive line coming together? But, two, more importantly, I want to hear your take on a former offensive lineman with that kind of guy behind you that you know if you just stick to your assignment, you got a chance to get a plus.
Yeah, everybody wants, you know, offensive linemen to come together, and they want it to come together now, right? It's kind of the how soon can you build that continuity? And for me, it's always been, when it comes to offensive linemen, it's more about chemistry than anything. And I think you've got to build that through gameplay. You build some chemistry in the offseason and build some chemistry in training camp, but really it's in the games that you find out how you adjust, how guys are handling things as the game progresses, who struggles with what. That's kind of where you figure it all out. I think they're going to be a lot more physical this year, and I think the more you can play next to each other, the more, the less you really have to verbally communicate, and it can kind of be nonverbal communication, and especially on the road, that's a big part of it. But the one thing that Deshaun Watson kind of helps if you're an offensive lineman is if I'm blocking my guy, and if it's Tom Brady back there or Eli Manning, they know where they're going to be. They know that where their setup is. They know their launch point. They're not moving around a lot. If I'm blocking for Deshaun Watson, my defender is kind of peeking around to say, "Hey, where is he? Where is he going? Oh, now he's moving. Now he's rolling out. Is he running out of the back of the pocket? What's he doing?" So it kind of adds a new dimension when they're trying to rush the passer.
Sean, Rich Lord here. We do appreciate you giving us a little bit of time. And Sean, my co-host, mentioned a moment ago that obviously you played in probably the bulk of your career. People remember with the New York Giants. You won a Super Bowl snapping the football to Eli Manning during your career. And I'm curious, I got to know, what were you thinking when Ben McAdoo thought it was a good idea to bench him last year?
You don't want to know.
I get it. Sure we do.
I tell you, it's there were a couple of things that ran through my mind. I happened to be in L.A. at the time when I got the news, and Eli's a good friend of mine. So personally, I was crushed, and I know how much the game means to him. So that stung me personally. Professionally, I didn't understand it. Number one, my mindset has been and always will be, this game is all about competing. And look no further than week 17 in 2007 when we had nothing on the line, nothing to gain from playing the New England Patriots, who were going for 17-0, and yet we risked everything. I tore my MCL in that game, and I missed the second half. I missed the first playoff game that year, but we ended up coming back and beating them in the Super Bowl. We don't win that game if we don't play in week 17 and earn confidence. So to me, it's always about trying to win the game. And you can't tell me that you're trying to win the game when you bench Eli to try to play Geno Smith, or even in that case, Davis Webb. So that's what I had a hard time with, that because if I'm in that locker room and my coach comes up and says, Eli's not going to start, you lost me. And I think that's really kind of what happened to the Giants and how they lost their way. And then really, it wasn't even just with Ben McAdoo. It was with Jerry Reese. I mean, it was a runaway train. I've never seen anything like it. Giants fans hope they never see anything like it again. And the crazy thing about it is you look at where the franchise is now and what they did in the draft and going forward since David Gettleman has taken on. It's a whole new organization. There's a whole new vibe and a whole new culture. So that was something that you never would have expected. And to me, the thing that really kind of irked me, and it irked everybody that's ever played with Eli, is he had an unbelievable streak going. I want to say at the time it was 210 games, consecutive games that he had started. And Eli, he told me, look, I don't care about the streak. And I said, you know what, Eli? Everybody else does. Guess who cares about the streak? The guys that played with you, the fans that were still going to the game, even though the season was over with, they were going to watch you and to watch history because you were making history. And that's to have just thrown that to the wayside, you know, 14 years worth of starts to just kind of throw to the side just so we can take a look. To me, it was reckless.
Sean, you mentioned culture in there, and that's a hot button, man. Why is it so difficult with the success that Alabama has in college, the New England Patriots have consistently, you guys had in New York for a short period of time when you guys were making that run? Why is it so difficult for teams, in particular NFL teams, to create that winning culture consistently?
Well, I think people just get impatient. They don't trust the process. It's interesting to me because when you mention the Patriots, and a lot of people think about the Patriots, and they think about, wow, well, Bill Belichick, you know, he and Tom Brady. And, you know, I think back to the fact that Bill took the job with the Jets when Bill Parcells left. And I think he had that job for like 3 weeks. And then the Patriots called and said, "Hey, we want you to be the head coach." He left everything. He turned his back on the Jets to go take that job up in New England. And I think people kind of forget how that whole thing went down. And people, I mean, they were upset with him for how he handled that and how he basically abandoned the Jets after accepting the head coaching job there. But the reason why he did it was because Bob Kraft told him that, listen, we're going to bring championships here, and because we're going to be a model of stability. And he went up there. The Patriots were a mess. I mean, they had an awful stadium. They had an awful team. They built championships because, number one, he found a quarterback that could give him stability, but they built stability within the franchise. And that continuity breeds confidence, and that confidence is what breeds championships. That's how we did it with Tom Coughlin. You kind of look at that same business model and that same mindset and that same culture. Guess who played the Patriots in the AFC Championship game? The Jacksonville Jaguars. And that's what Tom Coughlin and Dave Caldwell and Doug Marrone are trying to build down there. And it's interesting as you look as they're opening against the Giants this Sunday. The Jaguars, they're bringing back every single coach. They didn't lose a single coach. They're bringing back 18 starters from last year. That is how you breed championship. You get the confidence going. And, you know, look, when you're constantly changing coordinators and coaches, you're just pressing the reset button, and it makes it hard.
At Sean O'Hara, former NFL offensive lineman and an analyst, does a great job on the NFL Network. You can follow him on Twitter at Sean. It's S-H-A-U-N, Sean O'Hara 60 on Twitter. And, of course, you can see him every Wednesday on NFL Network's NFL Playbook at 5:30 here in Houston, 5:30 Central Time. Hey, Sean, we really enjoyed that conversation. Enjoy the games this weekend. Enjoy the game tonight. And look forward to doing it again with you down the road. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. And, you know, I know you guys are all looking forward to seeing Bill O'Brien try to get that first win.
You got that right, man.
Bill.
Time to get off the schneid.
That's it. That's it.
All right. Thanks, boys.
Appreciate you, Sean. Thank you. He joins us on the Buyers Barricades hotline, by the way, is where he joins us. Indeed. Yeah, he mentions that game. Of course, festivities get kicked off 9 o'clock, FCL Dental pregame with me and Mike, and then kickoff at noon. Paul and I will have the postgame for you right here on the Sports Radio 610.
The Eli streak was at 210, throw in 12 playoff games, so 222,
yeah.
Second only to Brett Favre when McAdoo made the call.
I think if I were a Giant fan, I'd be more angry now than I was when it happened. Because when it happened, I think if you're a fan with the season they were having, you're almost in a daze because of just how bad things were going. You're angry, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But everything's going so poorly. And maybe there were some Giant fans who might have been feeling like, okay, Eli hasn't played well. Maybe he deserves to be benched, kind of thing. But that they put him back in immediately the next week would be one of those things that would infuriate me. Personally, I don't care either way, but as a Giant fan, putting myself in the shoes of a Giant fan, I'd be more angry about it now than I was back then.
Absolutely. Because they didn't have Sam Darnold sitting on the bench. They had Davis Webb.
Who they've cut now.
Right.
He's not on the team anymore.
And as Sean mentioned,
Geno Smith, right?
Geno Smith.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's dysfunction at its finest.
We talked about it last year,
you know, with some of the issues that were going on here with, you know, who's calling plays and all that kind of job. That's where I was going with Sean was, you know, where do you see this organization in that process? It appears to be on the upslide.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.